Species. Naming, Grouping, and Defining. By Richard William Nelson. Species is a fundamental concept in modern biology. A principal function of biology is naming, grouping, and defining species, the building blocks of Earth's vast and diverse biosphere, opening a window into the checkered history of evolution. The term species emerged in the 15th century, taken from the Latin species meaning a particular sort, kind, or type, originating from the Indo-European root *spec*, a word meaning to observe, the language of Japheth, one of Noah's three sons. The naming of species, beginning in Genesis, is a continuing challenge. A name is like a calling card, conveying the carrier's character. The commonly known lionfish, pictured left, was first named by German naturalist Lorenz Oken in 1817 from the French name Lepteroïs, meaning fins, referring to the high dorsal and long pectoral fins. However, determining what characteristics distinguish one species from another has long challenged naturalists. As Charles Darwin explained in The Origin of Species, there is no golden rule. It is all important to remember that naturalists have no golden rule by which to distinguish species and varieties. During the Age of Discovery, beginning in the 15th century, naturalists collected, catalogued, and managed an explosion of unknown species returning from global expeditions, launching the field of study known as modern biology. However, as science writer Mindy Weisberger in the CNN article What Defines a Species? 2023, notes. Biologists have wrestled with the concept species for about as long as the field of biology has existed. Modern beginnings. John Ray, 1627-1705, the founder of modern biology, is credited for coining the term species for distinguishing between the different types of plants and animals. Elected as a Fellow of the Royal Society, Ray explained in 1686. No surer criterion for determining plant species has occurred to me than the distinguishing features that perpetuate themselves in propagation from seed. Animals likewise that differ specifically preserve their distinct species permanently, one species never springs from the seed of another nor vice versa. Publishing over 170 works, in his celebrated three-volume Historia Plantarum, published between 1886 and 1704, renamed and grouped 18,000 plant species by similarities, trees, shrubs, subshrubs, and herbaceous plants. In honoring Ray, the Natural History Museum, London founded the Ray Society, a scientific text publication society, in 1844. In his 1,670 collection of English proverbs, Ray is famous for including the following phrase. The road of good intentions is paved with good intentions. A young Swede would reignite Ray's pursuit by viewing Earth's biosphere as a natural system. Carolus Linnaeus. A Swedish naturalist, Carolus Linnaeus, 1707-1778, continued the process of naming plants and animals. Linnaeus, however, introduced his innovative two-name, binomial name, system to name and group by similarities in species Plantarum. The grouping, Linnaeus perceived, reflects the order of creation. The study of nature would reveal the divine order of God's creation, and it was the naturalist's task to construct a natural classification that would reveal this order in the universe. Best known for Systema Naturae, during his lifetime Linnaeus published more than 30 works, five more published posthumously. His first edition of Systema Naturae, printed in the Netherlands in 1735, was a 12-page work. By the time Systema Naturae reached its 2,400-page 10th edition in 1758, Linnaeus had included 7,700 species of plants and 4,400 species of animals. Like Ray, Linnaeus contested the Greek concept of spontaneous generation, noting, all the species recognized by botanists came forth from the Almighty Creator's hand, and the number of these is now and always will be exactly the same. Accordingly, to the former have been assigned by nature fixed limits, beyond which they cannot go, while the latter display without end the infinite sport of nature. Linnaeus's binomial naming system continues as the universal approach to naming and grouping plants and animals. The binomial name is also known as the species binomen, scientific name, or Latin name. Nature and Philosophy. Linnaeus entitled his work Systema Naturae. The word nature originates from Latin natura, a philosophical term derived from the verb for birth, a translation for the pre-Socratic Greek term phusis, referring to growth. Developing logical explanations about the natural world originated in Greek philosophy, most notably by Aristotle, 384-322 BCE, the tutor of Alexander the Great, becoming known as natural philosophy. Aristotle's writings on biology are the first in the history of science. Observations drove Aristotle's explanations. By observing similarities and distinguishing nearly 500 bird, mammal, fish, and invertebrate species, Aristotle developed a system of classifying organisms into groups, one of biology's earliest classification systems. In modern biology, this concept of grouping organisms by similarities is known as phenetics, phenian, similar appearing species are known as phenotypic species. Phylogeny represents inferred evolutionary relationships within a group of similar organisms. Within Western civilizations' emerging academia, similarities between species emerged as evidence of evolutionary relationships. Groups with observable similarities are known as phylogenetic groups. In developing the theory of natural selection, Darwin applied the phylogenic approach and, like Aristotle, only grouped species, never naming species. How did that work for Darwin? Origin of the grouping concept. Swiss botanist Augustin de Candolle, 1778-1841, was the first to continue Linnaeus's naming work, publishing Theories Elementaires de la Botanique, 1813, and developing the principles of grouping related species based on similarities. After arriving in Paris in 1798, de Candolle befriended Jean-Baptiste Lamarck, preparing revisions of his Flore Française, 1805-1815, using a phylogenetic approach. De Candolle is credited for introducing the term taxonomy, from Greek words, taxis, meaning arrangement, and nomos, meaning rules or law, to describe the process of grouping. Neither Candolle nor Lamarck defined the term species, nor did Darwin. Originating the idea of nature's war, de Candolle argued that similar characteristics in different species may not have originated from a common ancestor, a theory now known as convergent evolution. De Candolle and Darwin began corresponding in 1831. Senior by three decades, Darwin referred to de Candolle more than 20 times in The Origin of Species. Like de Candolle, Darwin argued that the Galapagos finches' phenotypic differences suggest an evolutionary process, arguing, "Seeing this gradation and diversity of structure in one small, intimately related group of birds, one might really fancy that from an original paucity of birds in this archipelago, one species had been taken and modified for different ends." However, what method did Darwin use to distinguish between the species, since he never defined the term species? Vague concepts were in vogue during the Age of Enlightenment. For Darwin, species remained a fluid concept, concluding in The Origin of Species, 1872. It is not pretended that we have any sure criterion by which species and varieties can be discriminated. However, vague species concepts eventually became Darwin's species problem. The principles of the Age of Enlightenment clashed with the scientific revolution. Not surprisingly, the Royal Society never recognized Darwin's works, following The Origin of Species in 1859. To address emerging natural sciences issues, the first annual International Botanical Congress, IBC, met in Brussels to standardize botanical nomenclature in 1864. Their best guide to follow for botanical nomenclature was published in Paris, 3 years later. However, a universal consensus on the definition of species continued into the 20th century. Wikipedia explains the source of Darwin's problem. Although intended as an objective method, In practice, the choice and implicit or explicit weighting of characteristic similarities is influenced by available data and research interests of the investigator. Inherent subjectivity complicates distinguishing species using similarities objectively. In the search for an objective method to define species, evolution scientists by the mid-20th century developed a new definition of species based on Ray's reproductive concept in The History of Plants, 1686. No surer criterion for determining species has occurred to me than the distinguishing features that perpetuate themselves in propagation from seed. Thus, no matter what variations occur in the individuals or the species, if they spring from the seed of one and the same plant, they are accidental variations and not such as to distinguish a species. Animals likewise that differ specifically preserve their distinct species permanently. One species never springs from the seed of another nor vice versa. Biological species concept. English evolutionary biologist Ernst Mayr, 1904-2005, proposed reproductive isolation, RI, as an opt-on for Darwin's golden rule, noting, species are groups of actually or potentially interbreeding natural populations, which are reproductively isolated from other such groups. Mayr was pivotal in establishing the general concept of species and was one of the most popular authors in this competitive field. In Systematics and the Origin of Species, 1942, Mayr presented his biological species concept, BSC, definition of species, a pseudo-resolve of Darwin's species problem. Following the definition's seeming acceptance, Mayr emerged as a leader in the species problem debate. As Anja Westrom explains in What is Reproductive Isolation, published in the Journal of Evolutionary Biology, 2022. Reproductive isolation, RI, is a core concept in evolutionary biology and the basis by which biological species BSC are defined. Mayr's species concept resonated with evolution scientists, especially Theodosius Dobbs Hansky's concepts in Genetics and the Origin of Species, 1937. Dobbs Hansky had reintroduced Ray's RI concept of species earlier. Julian Huxley, the grandson of Darwin's bulldog, synthesized the concepts developed by Mayr and Dobbs Hansky, along with those proposed by George Gaylord Simpson and George Ledyard Stebbins in his book, Evolution, The Modern Synthesis, 1942. Huxley's synthesis of natural selection, Mendelian genetics, and population genetics emerged as a dominant biological paradigm, unleashing a revolution in research and biotechnology, prompting Dobbs Hansky to declare, "Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution." Testing the concept. Huxley's theory emerged as the most widely recognized theory of evolution. The expanding reach of 20th century biotechnology, however, soon tested Mayr's RI concept. Westrom explains. A key conclusion is that RI depends strongly on circumstances including the spatial, temporal and genomic context, making it difficult to compare across systems. After reviewing methods for estimating RI from data, we conclude that it is difficult to measure in practice. Biologists soon reignited the search for a universal and testable species concept. One of the first papers emerged in 1970 by Robert Sokol and Theodore Crovello, arguing for a return to a similarities phonetic species concept, unleashing a new round of defining species papers. A flood of definitions followed. By 1997, biologist Richard Maiden of St. Louis University identified 24 proposed species definitions. Philosopher of biology John Walkins of the University of Sydney published a list of 26 species concepts in 2006. According to the Smithsonian Magazine, 2013, more than 70 official species definitions exist, of which 48 are widely accepted and used by scientists. Matthias Wolf, chair of bioinformatics at the University of Würzburg, outlines the issues surrounding the definition of species in the article How to Teach About What is a Species, 2021, published in the journal Biology, concluded. The discussion about what a species is will certainly continue. Of the new lines of technical evidence available to distinguish between species, The entry of the genomic revolution was anticipated to uncover the elusive golden rule for defining species. However, as Nancy Simmons, curator in charge of mammalogy at the American Museum of Natural History, explained to Weisberger, "We get into questions of how much of a percentage of a difference in the genetic code do you have to be a distinct species, and people disagree on that, too. So, even when we have genetic data, you don't find complete agreement about how to interpret it. Since there is no complete agreement on what constitutes species-defining characteristics, distinguishing a species based on similarities is tricky. The challenge to define what is meant by species." As zoologist Kevin DeQuires of the Smithsonian Institution explains in the article Ernst Mayr and the Modern Concept of Species. Despite the important influence that Mayr's writings concerning species had on systematics in particular, and on evolutionary biology in general, and despite the wide adoption of his proposed species definition in textbooks, these contributions did not solve the long-standing problem concerning the nature of species. As building blocks of Earth's biosphere, understanding the nature of species, biologists have an existential problem finding Darwin's species missing golden rule, a problem as old as biology itself. As even Dobzhansky reportedly noted in 1937, of late, the futility of attempts to find a universally valid criterion for distinguishing species has come to be fairly generally, if reluctantly, recognized. In the Quanta magazine article A Mutation Turned Ants into Parasites in One Generation, 2023, science writer Vivian Allier mirrored Dobzhansky's observations. How exactly a speciation event could happen after the parasitic phenotype arises is a mystery, however, that all these questions and speculations are complicated by the slipperiness of defining what a species is. Not surprisingly, no consensus on defining a species has been developed by any professional science organization. After centuries of accumulated thought and wisdom, clarity about distinguishing between species is still a work in progress. Counting species. The estimated number of species in Earth's biosphere waiting to be named far exceeds the number currently named. The International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN, listed only the names of 2.16 million living species in 2022. However, as Robert May, a mathematical biology legend, estimates in a paper published in Science, 2010, our best guess is in the range of 5 to 10 million eukaryotes, never mind the viruses and bacteria, but we could defend numbers exceeding 100 million, or as low as 3 million. The magnitude of the task is daunting. As Kevin Tila, in the article Why Scientists Name Species, notes, at our current rate of progress, it will take more than 400 years even to approach a complete biodiversity inventory of Australia. To continue the naming of species process, a range of new organizations, internal link to be provided, have formed. While naming is an essential function of biology that started with Adam, as the Harvard Gazette notes, a rose by any other name could be confusing. A biological name reflects the defined character of the species. However, defining a species continues as one of the most debated issues in science. Since a scientifically valid definition of species cannot exist without a testable definition, inferring evolutionary relationships cannot be validated scientifically. The concept of biological evolution originated in Greek philosophy, and continues as a philosophy, not a scientifically valid theory. The naming of species is an insightful history. Genesis. The concept of species is compatible with the Genesis account written by Moses. Each kind is distinctly unique and stable, as envisioned by the founder of modern biology. Elected as a fellow of the Royal Society in 1667, John Ray continued the commission initially given to Adam. Ray viewed Genesis as an account to understand the creator of species, writing, "If the number of the creatures be so exceedingly great, how great, nay, immense, must needs be the power and wisdom of him who formed them all. For, as it argues and manifests more skill by far in an artificer, to be able to frame both clocks and watches, and pumps and mills, and grandiose and rockets, than he could display in making but one of those sorts of engines, so the Almighty discovers more of his wisdom in forming such a vast multitude of different sorts of creatures, and all with admirable and irrevocable art, than if he had created a few, for this declares the greatness and unbounded capacity of his understanding. Ray's complete unedited statement is posted in the appendix.